Glory be to God. It's time that the people of God stand up and be counted. I'm looking for that spirit of Elijah to rise up again. Challenge every false religion. And I'm talking about a lot of them that have Christianity over the door. Time to say this after me. We're far enough along. I need you. Just want you to start practicing this. Say, Brother Gary.
Brother Gary.
I want you to know something.
I
am not confused. About who I am.
Where I'm from.
Why I'm here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you what. By the time this week is over, those words right there, they're going to dog you the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're not going to be the same. And if you missed any of these lessons, I need 3 weeks. I'm just trusting God that the essentials are getting in this, you know, in these six lessons. But I just want you to take a glimpse of something. Listen. I was praying, listening there. He says, son, I want you to show them just a little bit more the importance of what they're hearing. And then you stand up right then and give a testimony as to partly why. It's important to know the truth. You never know when God's going to send you. I never knew He was going to send me into the prison. You might be the very one to go in and correct something like that. You never know. It's important to hear the truth, know the truth, not be blown around by every wind of doctrine anymore. Have your feet planted solidly on the rock of revelation knowledge, which, Father, thy word is truth. Amen? And boy, it's the truth that sets us free. Let's take a quick glance at Hebrews 12. I'm so excited about tonight. Of course, I'm excited about tomorrow night. I am. And I'm excited about Friday night. Because I already know, unless he really throws me a curve, I think I know what he's going to do. And listen, boy, especially tonight, well, all better have your catchers out. We're going where religion fears to tread now. Okay? We're going to, you know what that say in Star Trek? We're no man, you know? We're going to realms, you know? I'm telling you, religion will not tread, will not enter the doors we're going in tonight. And if you do, you're going to become a target for religion. You might as well know that.
Yeah.
My advice is start developing your rhino hide now.
Yeah.
Okay? Jesus said, the student is not above the master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. Everyone raise your hand and say, amen.
Amen.
Hey, glory to God. Tired of wimpy Christianity. Amen. Hebrews 12. And look at verse 2 here, and I know it's one of the most familiar verses in the Bible. But it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now just look up here at me for a minute. You've probably heard messages, I'm sure Jim has taught you, and you've heard other preachers and teachers. The cross was no easy thing. I can't imagine. The more I hear about it, not only did he endure the physical crucifixion like other men in Roman times endured the physical crucifixion, but his was much worse than any man had ever endured before. All the fury, all the judgment that belonged on the human race fell on one man so that God's mercy and his grace could be extended to the entire human race. I can't imagine the level, the spiritual death, what that was like. Someone who had never, ever, ever been separated from his Father. And now all of a sudden he has to take on. He has to become you. He who knew no sin became sin. What was that like? Not only that, it says he bore your sicknesses and carried your pains. I'm convinced personally, I don't know that I could absolutely prove it, but that darkness that came, during the crucifixion was because I believe in his body. Every sickness, every damnable disease, everything hell ever dreamed up to torture a human body, I believe his body endured it. When Isaiah was prophesying about it, he said he was so marred, his visage, he didn't even look human anymore. And it was such a sight, God caused darkness to fall. Now the one who was closest to it, that Roman centurion, I believe he was close enough that even through the darkness he could see what happened. And he knew, he said, surely this is the Son of God. He saw it. Now, why? Now, think about the agony. Think about Jesus. What is going through his mind? It says here that it was joy that sustained him through that cross. Well, in a nutshell, you know what sustained him? You.
Yeah.
You is what sustained him. Not only that, he says, I've not come to do my own work. I've come to do the will of my Father. And you see him doing that through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, everywhere he'd find the devil's work, he got about the business of destroying it, didn't he? I mean, the blind saw, the deaf heard, the lame walked, the dead are raised, the maimed are made whole. Everywhere he'd find the devil doing any destruction, he undid it. And that's the works of the Father. And that's what, and the, what in, one of the things that it caused him to endure that suffering. You know, you do know. He said, I could call on my Father. And he would send, if I asked him, he'd send 12 legions of angels. Now, y'all know one angel in the Old Testament slew 186,000 of the enemy in a single night. One legion, if I'm correct, is 6,000. Is that right? Roughly? Okay, roughly 6,000. What is 12 legions? That's enough angels to destroy the whole planet. And you might as well if Jesus came down off that cross. Because there's no hope anymore for man. He could have come down. He did not have to stay there. What was it that kept him on that cross? He's going, right now, I'm the only one. I'm the only person on earth that has been born with the life of God on the inside of me. That is the life that the Holy Spirit anoints with dominion to do the will of the Father in the earth. But if I endure this, if I bear this sin, if I bear this spiritual death and suffer the full penalty of it, my Father has made a contract. He has made a covenant with himself, the Father to the Son, through the mediator Abraham. He will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will my flesh see corruption. He will raise me again on the third day. And when I'm raised, the life that the Father has given for me to have in myself, I'll turn around and everyone that believes, I will give to them to have that same life in themselves. Then there won't be just one on the earth that has the life of God in them. There'll be millions upon millions with that life of God that the Holy Spirit can anoint with dominion to go about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. Yes. You are his hope in the earth. Religion will cause you to be so beat down, so self-condemned, so looking at yourself, thinking you're just some kind of slimy dog worm that the best thing, you know, if you just ought to hope for is merely make it in that. Just give me a little corner, little cabin in the corner of glory. Oh, they sing them unbelieving songs, you know. We go through life so foot sore and so poorly shod. But at the end, there's God. Oh, give me a break. You're an occupying force from another world sent from the King of Kings to take over.
Yep.
We've come to rescue millions of people from hell and destroy the works of the devil everywhere we find it.
Yes. Yes.
Now that's what was going through his mind. And religion through 2,000 years has destroyed virtually that. They don't even preach that as a possibility. But that is exactly what he intended. And I'm telling you right now, before we're done, Jim Martin, that's exactly what he's going to have.
Amen.
He's going to have a group of people that know who they are, where they're from, why they're here, and how to yield to the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
So let's get on with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got to preach on me tonight, I think. All right. Quick review, and I mean quick, because we're going someplace tonight specific. Now look, do not take lightly these teachings. These, although he gives them to you the way he has them, has me deliver them in very simple form, I don't know if you know this yet, these are mysteries that have been hidden since the foundations of the world. These are things that if you understand it to the point you change your life, and you'll know what I mean by that by Friday night, you start changing and yielding to the Holy Ghost and let him have his way with you. What Jesus had in his mind as he endured the cross will finally be able to happen through you. And it's not me promising you that. It's the eternal word of the living God who cannot lie. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I've gone to the Father. What do you think? Can we depend on his statement or not?
Yes.
Now, this teaching tonight especially is critical. Don't underestimate it because of the simplicity of it. He's just doing that so that when you leave here, you have no excuse. Now, you may or may not agree with what I say, but I can assure you this. You won't be leaving here going, what did he mean by that? Okay? That's the accountable thing I was talking about. You are going to understand. Then it's between you and God what you do about it. All right, real quickly in review. I've been down here 2 or 3 times already. I don't remember walking down there, but I'm down there. All right, that's quick review. Number one, we have found out, are you God's heir?
Yes.
What part of you literally is God's heir?
Yes.
That's the part of you that was born of God, isn't that right? So we got that part down first, all right? When you were born again, you become God's child. Galatians 3:26 tells us that we are all the children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That right there sets you free from a lot of error, because the religions of the world would just have you believe that all religions are equal and Christianity is just one amongst many. No, Christianity is not a religion, never was a religion, never will be a religion. Christianity, true Christianity, is a family. You can't join it. You have to be born into it. That's all. You have to be born into it. You must be born of God's Spirit to be His child. Okay? Point number one, you are God's heir. We got that? I'm taking your mind. I'm just getting you back where we left off. Number two, well, we found out in Ephesians chapter 1, God has already laid up for us an inheritance. Isn't that right? We found it. You can find it all through the New Testament. We just looked at a couple of places. Over in 1 Corinthians 2, then, we found that now that you're born again, and you no longer have the spirit of the world in you, which was the law of sin and death, but now you've got the spirit which is of God in you. In other words, you've been born of His own spirit. Now you have the capacity to be taught about your inheritance. And in the next verse, He plainly tells you, I've sent the Holy Ghost to teach you those things that have been freely given to you of God. And that's your inheritance, right? All right, so let's review again up to this point. Are you God's heir?
Yes.
All right. Do you have an inheritance?
Yes.
Do you have a teacher?
Yes.
What's His name?
Holy Ghost.
Okay, you're good students. You're doing really good. Hallelujah. Well, as I was progressing through this over the past 2 years, and He was just laying this out for me so simple, well, the next question is, well, now, wait a minute. If I am God's heir, I'm God's child, I plainly see that He hath, past tense, laid up an inheritance. And then I know He sent the Holy Spirit. I can read it that it's the Holy Spirit who teaches me those things that are freely given to me of God. That's my inheritance. And, hey, I've been Spirit-filled for a long time, and I've shone-died quite a bit, you know. Yeah. And I'm going, well, what's the problem then? I don't get this. What is the problem? If I'm God's heir and I have an inheritance, and I know included in that inheritance is part of what Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And I'm going, well, what's going on here? What's the problem? And then finally, hundreds if not thousands of hours praying in other tongues, meditating the Word, finally in Galatians there you find the problem. It says was there the whole time. How can we read a book so many times, Jim, and it not dawn on us, you know? But it plainly says, Galatians chapter 4, the heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Well, you take any family. When is the time appointed of the Father? When he grows up. And physical age hasn't got a whole lot to do with it. I've met teenagers that are maybe 18 going on 30. Haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
And I've met 30-year-olds who don't even act 18. All right? So we're not talking physical age. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. What matters is how mature. And we're talking about your spirit. Remember, it's the spirit part of you that is the heir. Okay? So far, so good. Okay, the problem is we've not matured in spirit. So then, well, why haven't we? Well, that's when he started teaching me about the soul. And I'm just reviewing real quick. Well, he showed me, this one took a while to get it across to me, but he taught me, he showed me, he says, well, mankind, on purpose, all civilizations, believe it or not, all laws of every country are designed to restrain the sin nature, whether they know that's what they're doing or not. You know, some countries, if you steal a loaf of bread, they cut your hand off.
Right.
Well, that's a deterrent. Yeah. You know, that knowledge restrains the sin nature. See? The law was given, it plainly tells you, because of transgression. God gave them 10 opportunities from the time that he delivered them out of Egypt. He says, 10 times you've provoked me in the wilderness. 10 times he says, now do this, and they would do the opposite. Do this, they'd do the opposite. He gave them 10 opportunities to see if they would obey him. Of course, he already knew with a sin nature they couldn't. So finally, he had to give them the law. I mean, they're fixing to go in against a warlike people who are, you know, the Israelites have been slaves for 400 years. They don't know anything about warfare. And they're going to go in against the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the giants, Goliaths. I mean, you know, he's going, how am I going to be their, God's going, how am I going to be Israel's provider and protector and defense when they won't obey me in the simplest little things? I've asked them 10 little things to do. None of it was hard. And they've disobeyed me every time. If I'm going to be their provider and their protector, where they can overcome and be victorious in battle against this warlike enemy, then I'm going to have to restrain that sin nature. That's exactly why the law was given. And it was given in their soul with penalty, so that every time they thought about committing adultery, for example, see, the sin nature, it don't think there's nothing wrong with that. It goes, yeah. You know, hubba hubba, yeah, sin nature agrees with that, see. But the law comes and it says, from this point on, now that you're under the law, you're not making a decision whether or not just to commit adultery. You're making a decision whether you're going to die or not. Because if you get caught, we're going to stone you to death. See? So can you see how the law was given for the soul to restrain the sin nature in people before they could be born again? You do the same thing with your child. Every child, we love them, they're cute, we just love them, God loves them, but every child that's born of the flesh is born with that sin nature. That's real easy to demonstrate. I've never met parents yet who purposely taught their children to lie. But they pick it up somehow, don't they? Any of you ever teach your children, I'm going to have a lesson today to teach you how to be selfish. You don't have to teach them that. It's born in them. See, it's the sin nature. So we do the same thing. We don't call it the law, but it is, you know, every time that we see that sin nature, if they steal, if they lie, if they do anything like that, a godly parent who's not been brainwashed by modern day sociological and theological and crap stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely doctrines of devils.
Yes, it is.
God tells you plainly what to do. Warm their rump up.
That's right.
That's what you do, and it needs to be enough pain where the penalty of the pain is stronger than the pleasure that they got from stealing or lying or whatever they did. And that's what God knows more about raising kids than modern man. But see, you're really giving them the law, because they find out they steal something. You warm their little behind up until the tears run. You know, spare not for their much crying. Say, deliver their soul from hell, it says. See, spare not for their much crying. Boy, am I going cross-grained to everything? I mean, they asked us, bless their hearts, they asked us to help in the children's classes at our church. And I said, well, I don't mind to help. You know, this was early on. We did anything. I've done everything in that church, from scrub the coffee stains out of the carpet with a toothbrush, weed eat. You know, in the beginning, it's whatever needed to be done. That's what you do. Anyone in here aspiring to ministry, by the way, that's how you start. You ask Jim, what can I do? Or you're the pastor where you go, what can I do? And he says, I want you to take a sandblaster and sandblast the bricks. I mean, clean the bricks on the building. That's the beginning of your ministry. You do what needs to be done. Clean the toilets, scrub the carpet. I've weed-eated when it was raining so hard. A weed-eater, you know how you get that green stain on your pants? I mean, it got so stained, they're still stained to this day. You cannot get that stain out of there. But that's how you begin. Well, anyway, getting back to the subject, I digress. Anyway, getting back here. That's a real burr under my saddle, how the devil... None of our parents believed it was wrong to spank their kids. How in the world has the devil been able to hoodwink, intelligent people for crying out loud? I was going to tell you, they asked us if we'd help in the church with the kids. And I said, well, I guess so. I'd do anything to help. I said, if they get out of line, can I whack them? Now I'm in on the rump, And he said, oh, God, no. Because we'll get sued. And I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. There is no other scriptural way to do it. You know, I'll get permission from the parents, but if they won't, if you want me in there, as soon as when they drop their kid off, I want to say, now look, if your kid acts up, I have two options. I can bring them to you, or I can whack them. What do you want? You know? Well, we want you to give them a timeout. I'll just tell them. That's not scriptural. That's a doctrine of devils. You know, you can whack them or I can whack them. Your choice. They didn't really pursue us serving in the nursery. But that's the only scriptural way to do it. And God knows why. I mean, there's a reason for that. Well, anyway, moving on. Glory to God. Anyway, so we went through this last night. The problem is, see, we have to do that, and thank God we do it before people are born again, because otherwise, you let that sin nature run its course. Everybody has the capacity to become a Hitler, to become a Stalin. I mean, thank God that we have laws and civilizations and parents that teach the soul how to restrain the sin nature. It'd be absolute anarchy. It would be no law at all, you know. Well, that's fine. That's good, except once you get born again, who is the heir now? Who is the part of... What is the part of you that becomes God's heir? The Spirit. And we're told many times in the New Testament things like... The one we used yesterday was in Romans 8, where it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God... You might as well know that's the new nature. Those that are led by their Spirit, who learn how to do that, they are the mature sons of God. The Greek word there is mature. You've grown up of age to participate in the family business. So we're supposed to all of a sudden now learn how to operate by our Spirit. When I didn't get really saved till I was 33 years old. I've 33 years. I've trained myself. Everyone thought I was a nice guy. You know why they thought that? I had done really good. It was my soul learning how to restrain the sin nature. See? I didn't steal from you. Well, you're a nice guy. You know? I didn't lie to you that they could tell. Sin nature will get out anywhere it can. Yes. But anyway, you see what I'm saying? So, for 33 years, I've lived on planet Earth, living by my soul, restraining my spirit. Now I get born again. My spirit is the only part of me that is God's heir. It's the part of me that I must learn to walk by. It's the inheritor of the power. And I'm supposed to walk by my spirit. Now, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk by the spirit, you know. Oh, many verses. Trouble is, I'm going, fine. I just don't know how. I mean, for 33 years, I have purposely trained myself to live by my soul. How do I don't even know how to operate by my spirit. And boy, that's the big problem. And that's why I didn't recognize this tendency in myself for years. And again, even when I say this, for obviously I'm not against conferences. I'm not against tapes. I'm not against any of that. But then I understood why I lost a lot of years. Because I did not understand this. And I thought that Christians were supposed to operate still by their soul. And I devoted all of my energy pretty much to the development of my soul. Reading books, listening to tapes, going to conferences. None of those things by themselves are wrong. There is some good to it, to the renewing of the mind. But that in itself does not... Well, listen, the charismatic movement's been in existence since when? The 70s? Maybe late 60s? 60s? How many people... Boy, are we famous for conferences? We famous for books and tapes and all of that? How many people you know walking in power? Count on one hand. We got a few. And even then, it's like mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Even those will tell you. First question I'm going to ask, I've heard Benny Hinn. Thank God for Benny Hinn. I love Benny. But I've heard him say many times, the first question he's going to ask Jesus when he gets there, why didn't they all get healed? He knows they're all supposed to be healed, and he don't understand why. It's still a mystery to Benny. Okay? In other words, we've been doing that for over 20 years. The conferences, the books, the tapes, and I'm just now understanding that none of that is wrong. I'm not saying stop that, But all of a sudden, it's dawning on me, that is not exactly replicating units of power all over Christianity. Because what's happening, we're devoting all, we're still making our soul Lord, and we're devoting all of our energies there, because we really haven't known how to even let that spirit man grow up. Remember in Ephesians we read yesterday that the end result of even the fivefold ministry, the end result of administrations and governments and helps, and the end result of the prayer ministries of tongues is so that the body of Christ can grow unto the measure, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ, no longer being children. Listen to that. Listen to this. It's been in the book the whole time. God's plan is that our spirit man grow up, no longer be like a child, just blown around by any wind of doctrine, but grow unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Because when you reach full age, now you're able to operate in your inheritance. The Father can pull that, for those of you that were here last night, boy, won't that be a joyous day when the Father esteems that His Son is able to handle that level of power, and He goes and He takes the padlock off of that garage door, raises it up. The Son, He don't even know what's in there, and all of a sudden He hears a sound coming out of there, an ignition. Lava, 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 lava. Here comes that 442 backing out. And this thing idling, the vibrations of power coming right up through your feet. I mean, my God. That's a great day for the Son who inherits. But you know it's a great day for the Father. Isn't that right? But the Son has to grow up. Well, so I was going, well, Father, help. Okay, I see exactly. What can we do now to nurture the new nature? That is the heir. Everyone say with me, thank God, for praying in other tongues. Because first, you know, and I thank God for the day that we first ever heard of Dave Roberson ever started listening. I mean, I thank God that he hooked us up, because Jesus plainly told us who he was going to send to be our guide, our leader. Remember, we talked about it. We're not orphans. He says, I want to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Comforter. He is the one that's going to come. It's the word paraclete. He's the one that's called alongside you to help. He's the one that's going to strengthen you. He's the one that's going to guide you. He's the one that's going to teach you. He's the one that's going to guide you into all truth. I mean, on and on and on. I'm going, it's the Holy Ghost. And then you start getting into 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where he starts talking about he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Those are the very mysteries that the new man... Say, okay, here we go. Launching into the deep now. You ready? How do I put this? Okay, I've been leading you in that confession. You're not of this world. See that spirit man on the inside of you? Where was that life originally? Where is that life originally from? Is it from planet Earth? Where is it from? It's from heaven. Do you know the laws of physics in heaven are different than the laws of physics on this earth? See, on this earth, for example, 2 plus 2 make what? 4. So 5 plus 2 would make 7. Did you know that somebody from heaven who's grown up to a full stature, they believe 5 plus 2 equals 5,000? 5 loaves and 2 fishes feeds 5,000 men. When you add women and children, probably between 10 and 15,000 people. Now see, the natural mind, the part of us that's not from heaven, right there draws the line and says, tilt. No, 5 plus 2 makes 7. Okay? But the spirit man, who originated from another world, says, no, 5 plus 2 is anything you want. 5 plus 2 with God's anointing is whatever you need. See? You getting the picture? We're from another world. But we've limited that creature from another world to human teachers. Jesus never said, I'm going to send you human teachers to guide you into all truth. I'm going to send you a teacher from that world to teach the part of you that's from that world, the physics of that world. I'll tell you right now, you're not I'm sure you. I've driven around the city. We drove around today. We saw several universities. Thank God for human universities, and you can do a lot of good. I graduated from Oklahoma State University myself, but I'm telling you right now, you can go to Yale, you can go to Harvard, you can go to any of them. Not any of them know how to teach. None of them. You ask. You look in their curriculum. See if you find a class on walking on the water. You ain't going to find it. See if you can find a class on how to multiply bread. The Holy Ghost, one day, I was fixing to go to the ugly building where I pray, and I just fixing to leave, and he told me, he said, take a slice of bread with you. I said, I'm not hungry. Take a slice of bread. I didn't have any idea. So I just take a slice of bread with me. I drive over there. It's about 5 miles. And I'm over there praying, and after a little while, the Holy Ghost says, now walking out in front of the building, and out in front of this little building is about an acre and a half, 2 acres of just grass mowed, just like a field, you know. And I had an inkling, and he says, take that piece of bread with you in your hand, okay? So here I am standing in front of a grass field. I don't know, you could probably see, I don't know, if everyone just sat on the grass, 2,000 or 3,000 folks there probably. And he says, now picture, you got 2,000 or 3,000 folks that haven't eaten nothing in 3 days. Now you got a slice of bread in your hand. Yes, sir. I know what's coming. Don't you know what's coming? He says, now feed them. And right there, your natural brain does what? If you think about that too much, your brain starts leaking right out your left ear. So you just feed them. Because, see, the natural mind just can't go there. It can't go there. It's limited. It's finite. Your mind is from this world. But that spirit man on the inside, he was created to do that kind of stuff. He is created for the works of the Father to be able to flow just like it did through Jesus. So I'm saying, he's saying to me, feed them. And I'm going, I can't. He says, well, when you can, you've graduated Prayer Closet University. And I fully intend for you to graduate. Because Jesus could sure do it, couldn't he? Yes. Amen? So can you see what I'm getting at? This is, we're departing from religion here. We're talking reality. We're talking the real things of the kingdom of God now. There is a creature on, and I say that because of the way it's phrased, that any man that's in Christ is a new creature. And the real wording there, if I understand it right, is a new species. Boy, you got that right. A new species. You are a child of God camouflaged in human flesh so they can't see you coming. They think you're just like them, and all the time you're an alien from another world. And they have no idea that the power of Almighty God is coursing through your very veins. And that when you walk up, all things are possible. They have no earthly idea. They think, some of them think you're their enemy. And here you come to snatch them right out of hell, and they don't even know it. I'm telling you, it gets to be adventure. It gets to be exciting, you know. So now, What kind of school, where are you going to enroll that part of you that's from another world? Right universities, good university. They can't teach you how to multiply bread to feed 5,000. They can't teach you how to walk on the water. They can't teach you how to let that power flow like that. There's only one teacher on the planet qualified.
Right.
And it's the Holy Spirit. I will send the Spirit of Truth. He will guide you. Now notice he'll never force you. But he will guide you if you let him into all truth. He says, Jesus himself said, I have many things I'd like to say to you, but I can't even tell them to you now. Why? They weren't born again. He was sharing as much right to the limit of what they could possibly receive with a natural mind. But he's saying, there's things I need to teach you. I would love to teach you, but you're not able to bear it. You know, he didn't go on to tell them, but it's because they weren't born again. They didn't have that creature in them from heaven yet that had the capacity to be taught. But boy, once they're born again and the Holy Ghost comes, we can get on with some teaching now.
Yeah.
Amen? All right. So here we go now. And we're going to get into some... I've got a review of this little part here because I got to get your mind going here, because if you just even think that the devil, once you understand what to do, which you will, once you understand what to do, and you set your mind, say, well, bless God, this is more important than anything. If this is what kept Jesus on the cross, if the potential of millions of us growing up to where God the Father could do the works through us just like they did through Him. If that's the joy of that is part of what kept Him on the cross, I don't have anything more important to do. My Jesus is not going to die in vain in my case. If that's possible and that's attainable, and now I know it is, I'm going to give myself to it. Amen? Do you think the devil's going to leave you alone? The Bible tells us not to be ignorant of his devices. All right? So tonight, now watch this. So let's say you become, here comes your soul. It's the one that's been Lord your whole life. You've learned how to, you know, you've always lived by your soul, but you came to this conference this week and you found out that soul is going to have to take the lowest seat. That soul is going to have to start yielding to the new nature. Because that's the part of me that's born again. That's the part of me that is the heir. I've got to let my spirit spend time in the presence of the Holy Ghost so the Holy Ghost can communicate those mysteries from another world my mind can't even receive, and let my little spirit man start growing up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So it begins with a decision, y'all. And God left that ability to make that decision in your soul. That's scary. You're the one. You, from the soul arena, you're the one that has the authority on the earth. You're the one that decides every day. And again, I drew that analogy of the temple, the outer court being the flesh, the inner court being the soul, but that holy of holies, that's the spirit. Remember that curtain? Can you picture a curtain right here, and right on the other side is the holy of holies? Who lives in there? That's God. Well, who can go in there? Only that which is holy. You know, like the high priest from the Old Testament, and he had to do all that cleansing ritual and blood. Well, what part of you is created in righteousness and true holiness? Spirit. So that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 14:14, every time you come up and you say, okay, spirit man, I'm going to let you go into the Holy of Holies. I'm going to let you and the Holy Ghost here communicate mysteries from another world. In 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Your spirit's the one going in there. But my understanding, at that moment anyway, is unfruitful. There's mysteries from another world going on in there. My spirit man's learning how to walk on the water if need be. It's learning how to multiply bread. It's learning how to turn wine into water. Water into wine, that is. It's learning how to open blind eyes. It's learning how to hear God and yield to the Holy Ghost. Really, it's more like this. It's like the spirit man on the inside. I mean, he's like bowing before the Holy Ghost, the teacher. And he's saying, just teach me what I need to know for my call. It's a yielding. But that yielding begins with the soul. You got that? Now the soul, and this is the part I want to talk about tonight, because I'm telling you, you make a commitment to start doing this on a regular basis, and let me tell you right ahead of time, don't get condemned about your time. Listen, he's just after what time you can give him. The only time I had to give him in the beginning was, I was a long-haul trucker. The only time I had was when I was behind the wheel. Truckers just do three things, long-haul ones. You drive, you eat, and you sleep. There is no other time. That's all the time. There isn't any movie time. There isn't any goof-off time. You drive, you eat, you sleep, you get up, you drive. That's all you do. So the only time I had was that behind the wheel time. Have you all ever tried to pray in tongues while you're chewing your food? It's kind of hard, you know. Somebody, you know. Anyway, and I have woke myself up a few times praying in other tongues while I was asleep. But again, that's kind of unusual. But the only time I had was behind the wheel time. But I was faithful to give him what I had. And in just a couple of years, he made it so he has all my time. I can pray as much as I want, as long as I want. Don't you think there's the Holy Ghost is smart enough to know you don't have much time?
Yeah.
All he's looking for is find you faithful with what free time you have. Right. And I don't mean all of it. I mean, but start giving him a reasonable chunk. A reasonable chunk. You know, prove yourself faithful in little what you do have. Now, what do you think? You think he's interested in you having more time to pray? You think he might pray a few things along that line to God the Father? And supernaturally, Them two, the Holy Ghost and God the Father, they'll see to it you have the time you want. With me, it didn't take but just a little while. He has all my time. I mean, I could pray all the time except when I sleep right now if that's what he wanted.
Anyway.
Okay, here we are. You make the conscious decision. All right, my spirit man going in there. I want to let you communicate those mysteries from another world. You start growing up. And I'm just going to be real nice and I'm going to sit out here. And even though I don't understand what's going on, I'm just going to let you pray in there lots of time. Uh-huh. Here you go. Shanda labra koste meyando riandusta labrankur riandusta labrando. After about 5 minutes, I'm telling you, I've got a list of impasses here. Y'all might want to make note of these as you go, because you may not have the tape for a few days. I've been at this 9 years. I've been at the prayer center 9 years. I've watched hundreds make that decision, and I've watched hundreds get took out. I am not ignorant of Satan's devices. We label them now. We just call them impasses. You hit an impasse, and it takes you out. Basically, the devil removes you from the vision. You're neutralized, and unless you repent later on down the line, you're just going to be a nice little Christian and go to the first church now. You okay? You understand what I'm saying by that? You lose the vision for the power. We call it just taken out. But there's a lot of levels of these impasses. The first one that you're going to have to get past is boredom. Plain old boredom. Let me tell you about something about the soul. It likes entertainment. It likes to be active. It likes to do things. It does not like sitting there mumbling syllables that it has no idea what it means for 2-3 hours. It don't like it today. I'm telling you, I've been at this 9 years. It won't like it 9 years from today. My soul still don't like that. Okay? Impasse number one you're going to have to get past is the boredom. Now, I can give you some practical help. One thing that Pastor Dave taught me, it took me a little while to get used to this, but to keep your soul from just driving you nuts with the boredom of it, learn to read your Bible softly whilst praying softly in other tongues. It helps to pray softly because the sound isn't so much interfering with what your eyes are inputting. I mean, I had a hard time with that at first. I'd read a line and then pray in tongues. You know, it was hard for me to read and pray at the same time. But with a little practice, you can get to where you do that. Now think about, especially the New Testament, because it's the mystery of your covenant that the Holy Ghost is explaining to you. So I got in the habit then and start, well, whenever I could, of course you can't while you're driving, but whenever I was alone and just sitting somewhere, I'd have my Bible with me. I'd be somewhere in the New Testament. That's what I've been doing for 2 years with the Galatians and Ephesians, reading them and reading them and reading them. And I learned to pray very softly. See, God's not hard of hearing. It's just important you articulate the prayer. So I learned if I did it pretty soft, like, where it doesn't interfere with my ears, then with a little practice, it gets to be almost second nature. I notice, you know, Sue and I both now, if either one of us sees the other one reading the Bible, you can tell the lips are moving. You can't hardly hear a sound. But it just gets to be like conditioned. You get used to it. Well, now you've got the best of two worlds. You're feeding your soul the direct, undiluted Word of God, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit is teaching you the mysteries of that very Word. And just as a bonus, I'll tell you this. If you want to set aside a week of fasting sometimes, now you're fasting your flesh from everything except God's presence. You're fasting your soul from everything except God's Word. And you've activated the teacher who's been sent to mature you to the measure of the stature of Christ. You kicked on the afterburners now. You're giving yourself to Him, spirit, soul, and body. A little fasting. Jim will teach on fasting. We can't even touch that, but that's good, isn't it? All right. So impasse. One impasse is just the plain boredom of it. I recommend that you learn to read your Bible while you're doing that. But after a little while, now revelations will start coming. Now my first one, the first day that I prayed, truckers, a normal shift of driving is 10 hours. I had prayed for 9 hours. I mean, everyone say out loud, 9 hours. Y'all consider that a long time? I had not felt a goosebump. I hadn't heard God say nothing. No angels appeared, no rush of angel wings, no Gabriel trumpets. Gary, what did you have after 9 hours of prayer? A dry throat, a sore tongue, and devils screaming in my ear, this ain't working. Okay? Thank God I didn't quit after 9 hours. Because somewhere between that ninth and the tenth hour, suddenly I had my first little, what I call now, teaching vision. And I don't even have time to teach it to you. But I can tell you this, it was like a movie playing in my mind, and I was still driving my truck. I was driving it right through downtown Memphis. I know right where I was. It wasn't like the whole world went away. But y'all, most of you in here probably seen Gone with the Wind, that movie. And even while I'm talking, you can remember scenes like Rhett Butler, you know. Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a doggone. You know, and he slams the door. You can remember that scene, right? And, you know, the church didn't disappear before your eyes. That's what teaching visions are like. They're like little movies, like a memory that you've seen. Well, he showed me a vision. If I had time, I'd love to teach it to you, but I got it on tape. Just get the tape. But when that vision was over, I had listened to the best there is on faith. I'd listened to my Hagin and my Copeland and my Jerry Savile and my Fred Price and my Norval Hayes. I mean, I've done a good job. Nothing ever penetrated my consciousness like that little vision that he played for me like a movie in my mind. What he did, he made it personal to me. He taught it to me in a way that Gary Carpenter personally understood it. And from that day to this, my understanding of faith has been completely different. And there's nothing wrong with everything they said. It agrees with what they said. But I'm not now trying to live on their revelation of faith. I have my own revelation of faith. And that was the beginning. And over the years, you know, I've learned I figure if God the Holy Ghost is going to be great, God the Holy Ghost is going to be gracious enough to come talk with me, I would at least have enough respect to make record of it when he does. You know, I mean, I'll stop. I'll either speak it in a recorder or write it down. In the early days, all I had was a spiral. I'd pull over in those trucks and write down whatever it was. I'd draw my little stick men visions, you know, so I wouldn't forget. And then I'd get home and Sue would type them up for me. Later on, we'd put them in the computer, you know. Those revelations, there's thousands of them now. Thousands of them. And that is the ministry. What I do is go and deliver the revelations. We have them stored in the computer hard drive. We've also got them stored in this hard drive. And what I do when I come here, for the most part, is say, Holy Spirit, access what you want, bring it up, put it together, and teach the people. Amen? Amen. All right. So, the revelations and things are going to start coming. Don't get discouraged if there's long periods of time in between them. We're not talking a revelation a minute here. Sometimes I'll pray for 2 or 3, 4 days, sometimes a week now, and maybe nothing. But I've learned not to get discouraged. You know what this is? What's going on? Hey, this lesson that the Holy Ghost is teaching me, this one is a doozy. And boy, when it comes, I'm sure not dropping out of this class. When this one comes, it's a doozy. It's going to be life-changing. I'm staying here till I get it. See, because here's really the way the operation works. Your soul is sitting out here outside the curtain. They don't know what's going on. Your spirit man is in here almost like sitting at a desk, and the Holy Spirit's at the blackboard, and it's learning just like in university. You ought to make note of this. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of your new nature. Got that? The Holy Spirit is the teacher of your new nature. But see, as your new nature, that spirit man learns, you know what it does? It comes to the curtains, so to speak, and it parts them, and your soul's out there. And it goes, hey, soul, check this out.
Yeah.
This is what we learned today. Now, that brings up impasse number two, which I call opposing thoughts. You're going to think you're going crazy. Opposing thoughts. I'm going to give you two of them tonight because this one's so important. Many people don't make it past here. They get to thinking they're going nuts. And sometimes during the early stages, we think they're going nuts. But opposing thoughts, things you've believed your whole life, the Holy Ghost is going to challenge that if what you believe is not the truth. Now, let's go with this one. All my life, ever since I got born again, and I listened, especially during the 80s, I got saved in 1980, boy, the prosperity message was going wild during the 80s. And I mean, I was just sucking it up. I mean, anything they taught, I went right down every rabbit trail. Things like the hundredfold return. Anyone ever hear that? How about Luke 6:38? All you got to do is give, and it shall be given. All you got to do is plunk your offering in there. You know? How about? How many of them is there? I mean, you know, just all of them were basically. One of my all-time favorites. It's not the tithe, brother. All the tithe does is open the windows of heaven. It's the amount of the offering that you put through that window that determines how much blessing the Father can pour back on you. I believe that. I mean, is that guy's on the TV network is supposed to be the mouth of God speaking. And I believed it, like a little bird, you know, just give me another worm. Boy, they were worms. And we were desperate for God's blessing. Have y'all ever been there? I'm talking financial blessing. We needed it. But my whole mentality, because this is what was being taught, and it was taught for decades, still being taught today, all of it, one way or another, was formulas. Well, if you do this, you know, it's sowing and reaping. If you do this, then this. And if you do this and believe for the hundredfold return and confess it in, you'll get that. And if you give your tithe, but then determine the amount of offering above the tithe. I mean, all of it was based on formula. And I was doing all of that. So in my mind, I remember just as plain, I was driving home from the prayer center one day. I'd been praying down there. I can't pray there anymore because they line up. I mean, bless their hearts. You know, I used to do it too. If I saw Dave, he ain't going to pray. I'm going to go talk to him. I'm going to go ask him questions. And it's kind of like that for us now. I can't pray there because they just line up to ask me questions. Sue too. And getting to be that way with Aaron. But anyway, I'd been down there praying, and I mean, we were in desperate. We needed God's blessing. You can relate with me on that. And see, my mind was working like this. I was running through every formula, everything that I'd ever been taught. I guess, in a way, I was trying to make sure that I had dotted every I, crossed every T. Okay, now, am I sure I got my tithe in? Yeah, I got my tithe in. And did I write the check for the offering above the tithe? Did I make my hundredfold confessions today? You understand what I'm saying? Anyone relate with what I'm talking about? And see, none of it was working for me, but I was still diligently doing it because it's all I knew. I didn't know God. I just knew these formulas about God. And I'm driving home, but you got to remember, I have already been praying in tongues now for lots of times, you know, lots of hours. Many days, months, in fact, a couple of years at this point. And I'm driving home. My mind is still thinking like that because that's what I've been taught. And the Holy Ghost showed up. Here I am basically going, thinking of all these formulas, thinking, what must I do to get my Father to bless me? Because we needed financial blessing. And I'm thinking, what must I do? Make sure I've got this all done. To get my Father to bless me. And the Holy Ghost said, Jesus, he just spoke to me plain. Said, Jesus never thought like that. What do you mean he never thought like that? I mean, I'm thinking. What? He said, Jesus, the thought, I was going, what were you talking about? What thought? This thought never went through the mind of Jesus. What must I do today to get my Father to bless me? See, and the problem was I was consumed with, what must I do today to get my Father to bless me? And I'm driving right up Union, right by the water tower. Right, and I'm going, well, if he didn't think that way, how did he think? Boy, just as sweet, the Holy Ghost says, oh, he believed that he was God's Son, and heir to all that the Father has. I mean, in that one sentence, he took the axe to the tree of every prosperity message I had ever been taught.
That's right.
and I had a choice. All of a sudden, I have an opposing thought. I can hang on to the traditions that I've been taught for 10 years, 12 years, or I can hear the voice of my teacher and move on with him. All right, now it's time for me to choose. Do I choose the traditions, or do I stay with my teacher? Do you understand what I'm talking about on opposing thoughts? There's going to be times he is going to question, he's going to shake your ground, honey. And any time he finds a tree there that's not been planted by the Father, I'm talking about a tree of something you believe, a doctrine.
Yeah.
May I, and maybe your daddy believed it, and your granddaddy believed it, and his daddy believed it, but if it's wrong, the Holy Ghost is going to cut that down.
Yep.
And you're going to have to choose. Hey, I've been through that so many times now, I can't even count. One of the earliest ones I had to get past was tongues is of the devil. How many Baptists I got in here? Raised Baptists. I don't know how they do it here, but I know how they do it in Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. I mean, from the earliest times I ever remember, tongues is of the devil, and all who teach it go to hell. I mean, all who do it go to hell. That was put in me. Trouble is, when I started reading the Bible, Paul says, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. And Jesus said, those that believe shall speak with new tongues. And then Paul, right near the end of that chapter, says, forbid not to speak with tongues. And I'm going, well, they sure did in the church I grew up in. I guarantee you start speaking in tongues, they forbid it. They'll give you the left foot of fellowship real quick. I had to make that choice again. Now, who am I going to go with? The traditions that, and my family still believes all that to this day. They're softening a little bit now. But most of my kinfolk, that's what they believe. But I had to make a choice. Do I stay with the traditions? Or do I move on with the Holy Ghost? Well, time after time. Just know opposing thoughts. Now, what do you do with opposing thoughts? One thing I put them here is called... See, one thing you need to know about the Holy Ghost, he loves barbecue. What he does? He likes to barbecue all your sacred cows. All those things that we've held to, traditions of our parents, traditions that we grew up with, if it's not the truth, if it's really an idol, if it's a sacred cow, oh, the Holy Ghost loves to barbecue those. And I've got to where I like to let him do it.
Yeah.
Smells good, tastes good. Get rid of it. Amen? All right. All right. Opposing thoughts is something you want to... Now, what you do about that, if you really get serious, and because you can, you know, it can get serious. Go to your pastor, go to the Word. Hey, listen. I don't care what revelation I receive from the Holy Ghost. It says by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And he has to show me, I always want to see two from the New Testament minimum, and I want a type and a shadow from the oath. I want at least that minimum. I want two witnesses, two places in the New Testament, and I want a type and a shadow from the old. And he's never failed to give it to me. Never. He'll show it to you. And then in a multitude of counselors are safety, but be careful with that one. Depends on who you get your counsel from. Okay? You just ask the Holy Ghost who you should go get your counsel. If it's this church, go talk to Jim. I'm telling you right now. And then be humble enough that if you're wrong, you heard it a little wrong, hey, I am a man under authority. I am submitted to Pastor Dave Roberson. That is my pastor. And anytime it comes, and Tim Stemple, really, both of them together, the two of them make a pastor. And if I need a major decision or if I'm not sure I'm hearing something right, I'll go check it out. And if Dave says, boy, you'd better go pray some more about that one, then I go pray some more about that one. You know, or I listen to him explain it, you know, and you see what I'm saying? God didn't call us to be lone rangers out there. You know, it says, be ye in submission one to another. Humble yourself, it says, under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time. So don't be, you know, running around thinking you're a little more of a hot rod than you are. Get some counsel. I got to move on, and I got to move on. All right? These things are important because, trust me, I've been at this 9 years. I've been watching them by the hundreds. Not many survive. Now, so far, we're not even talking about opposition from the devil.
Right.
We're talking about just natural human resistance. Okay? One of them is boredom. The other one is opposing thoughts. I think we've talked enough on that. Here's another one. We're still not into the devil realm yet. This is when the Holy Ghost starts getting up close and personal. He starts messing with your personal life. Let me tell you about the... Let me put it this way, because this is the way I was, and I think you'd agree with me on this. Oh, I'm going to... Brother Gary, I heard the message. I heard the message, Brother Gary. I am convinced. I'm going to begin praying. I'm going to let my spirit communicate with God, the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to start receiving revelations and visions, and I mean we're going on. I'm expecting to grow up. I can already see myself drawing that sword of the Spirit and slaying every Goliath in town. Huh? How are we doing? Huh? Of course, I've been trying to paint that image, haven't I? And that is where we're going. But let me tell you something. Along the way, your soul is going to take a great bruising. Your soul that's been running your own life up to this point. Let me tell you about the first... Now, this isn't the first revelation. He gave me a lot of teachings. But every now and then, he doesn't come as teacher. He brings you something from the mind of your Lord that your Lord wants you to do. And your soul normally ain't going to like it. I'm going to tell you about the first one I got. Here, I've been doing this for quite a while, several months, I don't know. And boy, it's been good. He's been teaching me. I've been writing down these revelations. And I've been submitting to this, you know, hour upon hour upon hour in those trucks. This is in the early days. And I don't enjoy the praying part where my mind don't understand it. But boy, I do enjoy it when the revelations come. I enjoy every time I understand something, every time I hear something. But this particular day, you remember how I did it last night? The soul, by the way, still wants that spirit man to talk to God about your new car. That's the kind of things it's hoping to hear about in the beginning. Tell me about my new car. You know? Well, here's the first instruction in a practical way I ever got. It's like my spirit man, the time was over, he steps out, here's my soul, and my soul goes, is today the day he told us about getting a new car? And my spirit man basically says, this is what I actually heard. No, Jesus wants you to lose 40 pounds. Impasse. Now see, your soul has been Lord for a long time. Who is it that decides how many donuts you're going to eat? Who is it that decides salad, chicken fry? Salad, chicken fry, you know? With me, it's all, you know, chicken fry. Well, driving trucks and hardly any exercise. I mean, you just drive all the time. I'm only 5'8". I had little by little, after about four and a half years of that, I was up to 220 pounds. Now, when you're only 5'8" and you weigh 220 pounds, you're as wide as the door back there. We got a picture of me the month before. We started at the prayer center in June of 92. Aaron graduated from college in May of 92. So we have a picture, me standing right beside her, May of 1992. And I am so big that I have to wear a belt and suspenders just to keep my britches up. You wouldn't believe how big I was. I was huge, you know. And now the Holy Ghost, now here's the problem with your soul. I wasn't as renewed then as I was now. And I'm telling you, I didn't like hearing that. And it's almost like, hey, I just want to have power. I don't want him to mess with me. I just want to have power to cast out devils and walk on water and stuff. Hey, you're not going to mess with my personal life, are you? But he is going to mess with your personal life. And see, there's other things. You've got to be careful with judging people. If you was to know me or, you know, even follow me around, there might be other things you'd see that in my life that you'd think, well, that would be the thing that God would be most interested in. I know what he told me. Come to find out about a year later. Okay, let me tell you. I did obey him. But it took the yielded soul. I still had to make the decision. And over the course of 8 months, if I remember right, I lost 40 pounds. Okay? So I went from 220 to 180. Gary, what do you weigh right now? I don't know, but when we left Tulsa, I weighed 173. That's pretty good. Okay? Been a little backsliding over the years. But what he told me still works. He gave me a plan just for me. I wrote it up. I call it the Diet Buster. Y'all can have a copy if you want it. but I won't guarantee it'll work for you. I don't know about your metabolism. I don't know about your genetic code. He knew about my genetic code. And the way he taught me to do it, it works. It just works every time. If I do it, I get right down to where I should be. And any time I don't, I start going back up the scale again. But now, I think the reason that he did that, see, the Holy Ghost goes right for the most important thing in your life. Skipping over many things, roughly a year later, after that, I had an attack with my heart. I come really close to dying. And I've often wondered, see, but I was already down to 180. I've often wondered, had I had that other 40 pounds on me, would I have survived that night? Probably not. Probably not. I can't say that. He's never told me, but I've just wondered if that wasn't the reason why. He knew what's coming down the road, so he was getting me prepared for it ahead of time. And he knew what was most important. Isn't the Holy Ghost smart? All right. So now, but every time that he comes to you, here's another one that where he'll come and mess with your business. You're going to find, I don't know anybody that escaped this one. He's going to remind you of somebody, most people, well, not everybody, but most of the time he's going to say, that person you've been holding a grudge against for 10 years, Jesus says it's time for you to forgive them now. If you're going to go any further on this mortification edification process, you're going to have to get obedient, and I mean forgive that person. Or you're not going any further. And maybe for 10 years you've held, see the soul, it don't think like that. You know what the soul thinks? You have no right to hurt me. That's what the soul thinks. And bless God, you better not. And if I'm not strong enough to, I'll mouth the words, I forgive you, but I don't want nothing to do with you. Honey, that is not the kind of forgiveness Jesus does. Jesus, that kind, when his, whose nature is it he's growing up in us? His. His nature loves that old mean, ungodly thing to the point he'll die on the cross for him. Already did. And that's the nature in us. And I'm telling you, he's going to deal with you about forgiving everybody, everything. And you're going to have the choice again right there in the soul. In past time, he'll say, you forgive them. And he may even want you to do something for them. How do you know that? Don't ask me. He may want you to give them some money, when all the time what you really want to do is sue them because of what they did to you. See what I'm saying? But you're going to have to yield. All right, I got to speed it up. We're running out of time. This lesson tonight, now listen, don't let the simplicity of it get you. These are the things I've watched it take out hundreds. All right, we've talked about boredom. We've talked about opposing thoughts, sacred cow barbecues, personal items, like things he may want you to do that's not going to be real pleasant on your flesh. Okay, well now we're going to start talking about where the enemy gets involved. By the way, he does get involved in all those things. He will energize your boredom to the 10th power. All of a sudden, this, I've got to go see a movie. I can't pray anymore. Or I've got to, one of the craziest things, there's nothing in me that likes yard work. Like Copeland says, mowing the lawn is my idea of having nothing to do. I don't enjoy mowing the lawn. I mean, I like a mowed lawn. I just don't want to mow it. You okay? I can't tell you, though, the number of times I'd make a decision to get in prayer, I wouldn't be praying 15 minutes, and I'd have an almost uncontrollable urge. Suddenly, I needed to mow the stinking lawn. And normally, I would have paid $100 for somebody else to do it. But that's how much the soul hates sitting there. You understand? And I believe part of it is demonic. They come and energize that. You know, they capitalize on that. Say, yeah. You can hear little voices and you don't realize it's the devil's going, yeah, you're wasting your time. This ain't doing nothing. Do something productive. At least mowing the lawn will do something productive, say. Okay. But now, when the enemy really starts getting involved, again, he's going to watch you. And if you persist, and he can tell if he doesn't stop you, you're going to start walking in some power and disrupting his kingdom pretty soon. Then all of a sudden, attacks will come. I've seen direct attacks, like sickness. I've seen direct attacks in people's emotions, And I mean with demonic help. And I've seen lots of indirect attacks where the devil works through people. And that's one of his most effective ways. We have a little saying at the prayer center that y'all probably do here. God gave it to Pastor Dave, but we confess it all the time. I take no offense, and I give no offense. See, she already knows. Y'all do it here too, right? Because that's one of the most effective tools. You know how many hundreds of well-meaning people have come to start this path of prayer and nurturing the new nature? And if none of the previous stuff we've mentioned works, boy, very often, an offense does. And they're just not mortified enough yet to that sort of thing. And they take offense and they can't handle it. And in a little while, if it knocks them out of prayer, it's just a matter of time now till they're gone. And they're just neutralized. I mean, it's not like they won't go to heaven. They will. But they're never going to walk in the supernatural calling that God had for them. Because they've stopped the nurturing process now, where the spirit man grows up. All right? Offense is through people. And then indirect attacks of circumstances. You ought to write that down. The devil doesn't have a whole lot of things. He's not at all. He's been limited to what he can do. He doesn't even have the power of that angel that could slay 180. If the devil had that kind of power, he'd wipe every one of us out in here tonight. He doesn't have that kind of power. But what he can do, well, what did he send against Jesus? Here's Jesus and the 12, and Jesus says, let's go over to the other side, you know. And you can tell why they're going over there. What happened when they got there? That's where he cast those legions of devils out of that devil-possessed man. God the Father wanted that man free. So let us cross over to the other side. What happens? Well, a storm comes. Circumstances. And you say, oh, you know, hey, the church I grew up in, they taught that God sent that storm. They did. You wouldn't believe the stuff they taught. Well, if God sent that storm, then Jesus was working opposite to the will of God when he said, peace be still. God didn't send that storm. That's the devil sending circumstances to make it look impossible. And you might as well know that he can still do that. And the way we've seen it happen is this one guy, he couldn't get behind the wheel of a vehicle hardly without having a car wreck. I mean, it was incredible. That for some reason, that was a door that the enemy could come through. I mean, he survived all of them, but the cars didn't. If he borrowed, and one thing for sure, you got to where nobody would loan him their car. Was it nine? Wasn't it nine that he had in the space of a year and a half? Accidents. We've seen that kind of thing, just incredible accidents. When Dave is teaching on this, he says, well, the devil comes. You're sitting in your house. You're minding your own business. And all of a sudden, a boulder shakes loose from the mountain behind you, rolls down, crashes through your house, rolls over your leg and breaks it, just about the same time that your cat runs off, and your wife leaves you, and the telephone company, they shut off all your, you know, the utilities, they shut off all your utilities. And about that time, all these circumstances happen. You get a phone call before they shut the telephone off, and you're fired from your job. You broke your leg. And he says, the next day we see you, and you're so beat up, the only thing working is your left ear. And you're dragging yourself along the pavement, headed towards the church, and somebody says, where are you going? I'm going to pray. I'm going to prayer, you know? And that's what it takes. Dave does that because it's funny, but listen, circumstances, storms will come. Your job is to stand up right in the face of them, not be ignorant of what's going on, and to every storm, peace, be still. I think the biggest sin, especially for heads of households, that we do most often is the sin of silence. Amen. The sin of silence. The devil sticks his head up and, I mean, when it dawned on me in Genesis, this thing's lying now. I know it's lying now. In Genesis, here's the tempter, the snake, the devil, tempting Eve. It was the longest time before it dawned on me. Adam was standing right there with her the whole time. And when it dawned on me, I'm going, because he's the one that God says, you keep my garden. You dress my garden. You look those words up And again, I'm no Greek scholar, but I can look them up. And the picture painted there is like you put a protective hedge of thorns around my garden, and if anything cut so that nothing can come through, and if anything does come through, you take authority over it and kill it. Well, Adam had that authority. He was supposed to dress and keep that garden. And here's a snake, the devil, tempting his wife, and Adam doesn't say a stinking word. The sin of silence. He should have taken authority over that thing the first time he saw it and cast it out of the garden. That's what God had commissioned Adam to do. Dress and keep the garden. But we just silence, you know. So don't fall for the sin of silence. Circumstances start coming, and it's always going to be the same end result. Well, now these circumstances have come. I don't have time to pray now because I have to handle these circumstances. Uh-huh. You fell for it, didn't you? That's why the devil sent those circumstances. And I'll tell you this right now. He hadn't got a whole lot of things in his bag of tricks. If he finds something that works on you, he's going to keep using that. He said, ain't no point coming, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This will work it. Every time you start going back to the prayer closet, if a car wreck took you out, maybe 3 months after that last wreck, you didn't pray. You decide to pray, devil goes, let's see what worked the last time. Until you rise up and take authority over that and say, peace, be still, stop it. I take authority over these devils. I'm going to go pray. He ain't going to change tactics on you. He's going to use what worked the last time. With women, a lot of times, I'm not looking at anybody now. With women, I'm telling you right now, a common one, especially single women, Mr. Good Looking coming. Mr. Counterfeit, good looking. He coming. The one you've been looking for your whole life. And sent, I mean, he don't know it. He's just a kind of a pawn in this big game of chess. But all of a sudden, Mr. Good Looking coming, and suddenly nothing in you wants to pray anymore. You want to go to dinners and movies and be with Mr. Good Looking or Miss Good Looking. Because of God. Seen that many times. And the whole, and sometimes you're going to have to ask God whether it's the right one or not. But usually it's a counterfeit. Okay, we're going to wrap this up. All right, let me just sum it up like this. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, I want to give you Dave's definition of an impasse. This is the thing. I think Sue and I, after all these years, because we are so normal, we are just average folks, we've seen people come, I mean, we'd look at them and think, finally, we got some champions that have arrived. I mean, they had more going for them in every possible way, you know. And we think, boy, here's some that's going to make it. Here's some that's going to endure, you know. And they're long since gone. And we stand in amazement going, how are we still here? How are we still doing this? And what it is, these words, what I'm about to read to you, this is what Dave pounded in us and continues to do so. And every time I'd find myself in an impasse, it was these words that kind of snapped to. And I went, oh. Okay, here's the words. Dave says, when nothing in you wants to pray, it doesn't matter the reason, but when nothing in you wants to pray, don't stop then. That's where you've been trying to get to. And if you make it past that point, endure. The enemy will never be able to stop you at that level of emotional warfare again. Let me try it again, or get the tape. This is a summary. I'm going to do my best. I filled in a little. When nothing in you wants to pray, don't stop then. That's where you've been trying to get to. And if you endure past that point, the enemy will never be able to stop you at that level of emotional warfare again. Can I take 60 seconds? When you start off, let me show you how weak you are. See, God's wanting to send us in to rescue people from hell, is He not? He's right. He'd like to train up some warriors that have the very nature and character of Christ, where we know who we are, where we're from, why we're here, and He can send us into the enemy's camp to rescue people out of hell. And that's what the whole thing's about. Isn't that right? Well, see, when you begin, you're like a little child. Boredom might take you out. That may be your big impasse. Boredom, I ain't going to do it. See, that level of emotional warfare took you out. Well, how big a devil can God send you up against? He going to send you to Iran where they'll to witness on the streets where they'll kill you for passing out tracts? What do you think? You think he's going to be able to send you? And boredom took you out of prayer after 30 minutes? That's the level of emotions you're able to endure? But you keep this process up and you hit impasse after impasse. Now it's, bless God, it's that pastor's wife. That's what it is. I heard what she said about me. I have every right to be offended, and I'm going to take this offense. And if you do, see, boredom didn't take you out. You're a little stronger than that. But if you don't make it past little offenses, you know, something they said about you, the pastor didn't say hello to me today. They just don't appreciate all I do at this church. I think I'm going to move down to the first church again, you know. But you won't be praying down there, because that pastor's not going to keep pushing you. And that enemy won. But that was your strength. You've made it to offense strength. And right there at that level is about as far as God can use you. Because anywhere he sends you, you might obey him and serve him for a little while, but the devil's already found out. All he has to do is get you offended, and you'll tuck tail and run like a scalded dog. But see, if we let this process continue, and you make it after impasse, after impasse, after impasse, anything the devil throws, finally, you'll get that nature will grow up that the devil can't stop you. Your enemies could be nailing you to a cross, and you'd still be saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Can you see that? Now you tell, I ask you, just where is it that the Father, where it'd be so tough that the Father couldn't send you now? See how you've matured? You become a weapon now in his hand, and there are no limits. Do not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Make it through the impasses. Let that be the joy that sustains you through the prayer, just like that same vision sustained Jesus on the cross. Did that help you? There you go, Pastor. Hallelujah. Glory.